Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
We're going to start by going to 1 Corinthians, and I'd like you to join me in chapter 11, and then we're going to go to chapter 4, kind of out of sequence there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In chapter 11, we're going to be looking at verse 1 and maybe a few previous verses. In chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 16 in the context of those. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we really need to bump ahead of that a bit into chapter 10, but let me read verse 11. The New Living Translation says, "And you should follow my example, just as I follow Christ." Now, your translation may read a little bit differently, but there is a word of challenge that God is speaking through the apostle, and he's saying that those who would read, those who would listen, that they should follow his example as he followed Christ. There are people in your life, in your family, in your work community, in your neighborhood, and maybe sitting next to you this morning that are watching your life. They are followers. They may be leaders as well, but they are followers. And as I was studying over this a few weeks ago, actually I was on the back porch up in the mountains and I was just in prayer, and God was stirring this thought inside of me that God is doing a work in our individual lives wherein others will see Christ in an undeniable, unexplainable way that will be absolutely convincing to them that Jesus is Lord and the Son of God. I desire to live that kind of a life. How about you? A life that is empowered by God in such a way that those who know us are absolutely convinced that God is in our life. Years ago, I was working at Scripps at the time. It used to be known as the Stuart News. Any of you remember the Stuart News? Goes back a while. Stuart News, was working at the Stuart News, and my boss one morning said to me, "Jonathan, it's evident that you are very religious." I didn't know how to take that. Maybe you've had someone give you a compliment like that, and she meant it as a compliment. "I see that you are very religious, very religious." I trust that, and actually the conversation went, it took off from there, and that was an open door to share with her my God story and to invite her to move her faith beyond religious experience into personal encounter with God. Because she too had a church background. She grew up being taught the Word of God, Sunday school, the stories of God. She knew those. And she was a person of faith. Did not necessarily have any knowledge of God desiring to move inside of her life and dwell there. But I remember in that conversation, she said, "Well, God seems to be very real to you." How many of you have a real God that's very real to you? She said, "God seems to be very real to you." How many want other people to see that God is really real in your life? And she said, "Why is that? Why is that?" What an open door. What an open door. And I trust and I pray that every one of our lives will cause others who are around us to be curious and to acknowledge that God is there. I remember the conversation that day. It got to the point where the discussion was, how do you know God is real? How do you know that? How do you know that God is in you? How do you know that God is working in your life? And I shared with her that to me, God was more real than she was. I said, you are standing here. I can see you. We're talking. We're communicating. And I am blessed to work under your leadership. And I appreciate that. You're gifted to do what you do. But I must tell you that I am here serving God, not you. The better I serve God, the better I will serve you. But I am here serving God first. And we had a lot of discussions about that. And over the years, I've had different people at the cemetery for, I don't know, 20-some years. We had annual Christmas Eve candlelight services. And people would come up and they'd say things like this, Pastor, that was a nice prayer you said. Maybe coming from a background where prayers were read. Nothing wrong with reading a prayer. I want to make sure that I don't make light of that. There's nothing wrong with you reading a scripture as a prayer and praying a scripture, or finding maybe in a book prayers that availeth much and reading one of those as a prayer from your heart to God. But at any time in those public gatherings when someone has said that to me, that was a nice prayer you said. I've always been mindful of the fact that we who are in relationship are not simply saying a prayer, but we are communicating from the depths of our heart in a real and passionate and living way. When the apostle said this, follow me. You're not sure where you're going? Follow me. You've just heard about Christ? Follow me. You're just learning. You're just learning. You've just started reading the Word of God? Then follow me. You've been serving God for many years? Follow me. You've experienced great things in God. You've been in His presence. You've worshiped. You've encountered God in a powerful way. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now I want to encourage you this morning to know that this message today is not about condemnation, but it's about the call of God to press forward, go onward, and to realize the importance of your life. We're going to look at another passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 gives us the context of that statement where Paul says, you should follow my example just as I follow Christ. Earlier, he had been talking about communion, had been talking about those who receive the elements of the Lord's table without really understanding what that is all about, and how that our lives should be consistent with a testimony that Jesus is living inside of us. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I like to bring some parallels of scriptures together when we're looking at biblical truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 14. I'm not writing these things to shame you, but to warn you as my beloved children. Sounds like a father speaking, doesn't it? For even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? How many good biblical teachers are there in the world today? There's thousands. How many good biblical preachers are there in the world today? There's thousands. How many scholars are there? There are thousands, I'm sure, in the world today. Paul says that even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you could have that many, 10,000, to teach you about Christ. Paul says you have only one spiritual father. Listen to what he says. For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. So I ask you, look at verse 16, I ask you to follow my example and do as I do. Now, aren't you glad we started in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He's not setting himself up as God. And he's not saying, I get it all perfect. In fact, the Apostle Paul is one of the ones in the Word of God, maybe the one who most clearly says, I struggle in my flesh on a regular basis, and every day I have to bring my flesh back to God and say, God, take control of this flesh. Now, you may be a lot more spiritual than Paul, and if you are, you can say amen, and you can come and finish this message too. Because I too live in a house of clay, and I too am challenged and tempted and tested. And when the Apostle Paul says, what? You think only others struggle? Others burn with lust? Others have issues in their life? Paul said, I struggle with all of those. And yet Paul is saying, my imperfections do not hinder you from finding Christ in my life. What does the devil say? He will speak into your life and say, you're disqualified because you're not such a great person of faith. You're not such a great follower of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul did not have the opinion that he needed to promote his perfection. He had the opinion that he needed to promote the perfection of Christ and say, in spite of my imperfections, you cannot miss the fact, if you follow me, that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to not be discouraged by any of the struggles or battles or repeating wars that you are having or have had in your life. I want to encourage you to know that the apostle said something you can say as well. Follow me as I follow Christ. I don't want you to see yourself as some in the Word of God saw themselves as a worm. I'm just like a little worm. Remember those spies, they went into the land, they came back and said, well, it's a beautiful place that God has for us, but we're never going to be able to get there because there's giants there. And in every one of our lives, the enemy would love to keep the giants breathing. But I want to encourage you this morning to know that you are on task, a representative of Jesus Christ, and God is able in your life to destroy those giants and to bring you into His land of promise. And your witness is absolutely imperative for the gospel to advance and the kingdom to be established in the hearts of people. And everybody said, amen. Amen. It's not by might. Help me. But by my Spirit saith the Lord of hosts. It's not by the brains. It's not by all the intellect. It's not by yesterday's experiences. But it's by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that is in your life this morning. And if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have been touched, you have been anointed, but you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to call you to say, right now, God, baptize me, fill me. I want to be totally filled to overflowing with the anointing and power of God in my life. Because that's what God has for you. Right, Fred? This is what God has for His church. Hallelujah. So, I ask you to follow my example and do as I do, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, I wasn't here on Father's Day, but it isn't really a Father's Day message, but I was thinking about fathers, but I'm also thinking about all of you this morning. I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. And in Psalm 101, we're just going to kind of read that psalm and look at that for a moment. Is there a hallelujah in the house this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 101. Psalm 101. This psalm, as many of the psalms, starts out with the importance of singing, worship, and it is personal. And the psalmist is David. Do you see that at the top of the psalm? You will see some of the psalms are by other writers. Inspired of the Holy Spirit, I will sing of your love and justice. I will praise you, Lord, with songs. So that sounds like a worship experience, doesn't it? want to remind you that when John is having an encounter with God in the book of Revelation, what he did was he presented himself on the Lord's day. And then God knew what to do with what he presented. That's part of our coming together, is it not? You realize this is the Lord's day. It's not the Sabbath. The Sabbath was yesterday. But this is the Lord's day. Why is it called the Lord's day? Anybody know why it's called the Lord's day? The first day of the week was the day of resurrection. It was the day of resurrection. The Sabbath is a day of resting. The first day of the week is a day of work and works, the working of God. And this was on the Lord's day that he presented himself to God. He's in worship, and we come together to worship as well. Now, so David in this psalm, he starts out with a personal declaration, proclamation. I will do this. Did you come in this morning saying, I will sing of God's love and justice this morning? I will do it. Now, I know some of you, many of you are more disciplined maybe in the mind, but I know that in my mind, I can be thinking about something else while my mouth is going. And I can even be singing and not thinking about what I'm singing. And so I want to just stop for a moment and say, when we come together for worship, don't be shocked if maybe we just sing one song 10 times. I know we don't normally do that. And you're going to say, oh no, Pastor, I'll be so bored if we sing the same song 10 times. Why would we do that? Because these songs are calling us to recognize the greatness of our God. Not to look at our clock and say, wow, that was 15 minutes. What? I've got things to do. I believe it's important for us when we come together to worship that we pause for a moment and say, why am I here? I'm not here because I was born again back someday and I'm looking forward to fire insurance going to take me to heaven. I'm here because right now God wants to release from His presence by His Holy Spirit a fresh move in my life, a fresh operation of His Word and His work in me. You do recognize that, right? And so I remember practicing when I was in college, traveled with a group of guys, used to call them quartets. I know you younger people don't know what a quartet is. We used to have those, but we practiced and practiced and practiced. And the director, he would sit down in his chair while we were practicing. And he would go, we're practicing. And he'd do things like stick his finger up his nose. And then he would get to taking a drink. He'd have a drink there. He'd drink out of his drink. He'd rustle papers. If he'd had a cell phone, he would have been on his cell phone. And we're trying to practice. And he's saying, minister to me, boys. Minister to me, boys. Minister to me, boys. And then he would go to all these different things. And one day he said to us, he said, now, boys, you're learning your parts well. You've learned the words, but you haven't got the message. Because when you get the message is not by your voice, but it's going to be by the Spirit. And you are going to see what you're singing, and you're going to enter into it, and it's going to become alive in you. And so when we come together to worship, if we are going to welcome the presence of God, we need to separate ourselves from all of those things. And he went on to say, wherever you go to minister, you're going to find people that are doing all kinds of other things other than worshiping. Some will be going to the restroom. Some will be talking. Some will be passing gum. Some will be sleeping. What are you going to do? He said, you can be up leading the choir and not be worshiping. Or you can be in the congregation and not be worshiping. You can be on top of the mountain and worship God, but you can also be in the deepest valley and worship God. You can be at a point in your life where everything is going great, or you can be at a point in your life where everything is falling apart. But in both places, if you will set your mind on the Lord and ask Him to awaken in you a holy desire and a holy understanding of what He wants to say, it will transform your season of pursuit of God. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Smile. It's so good to smile. Amen. So then he said this. He said, when you are ministering, find someone that's getting it and look at them, because there's a danger to reflect what you're looking at. He said, so if you're looking at things that are discouraging, if you're feeding on things that are discouraging, if you're feeding on things other than what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say right now, then you are going to be giving out of what you are feeding on. So he said, when you get up to minister, find somebody that is alive in God, even if it's just one grandma, and look at her and smile at her and reflect what God is doing in her life. And I want to encourage you this morning. I've heard other pastors say that. If you smile, I'll probably smile more. And if you are free in the Spirit and you're encouraging the move of the Holy Spirit, I'll be able to speak better, because you're going to pull it and you're going to be an open vessel to receive. Amen. Y'all still with me? Worship. It's important. It is really important. I wonder how many of you, even in your car sometimes, maybe you have a playlist, maybe you have the radio on, but there's a sweet Spirit of God that just moves in and touches your heart. And you're just lifted up. You forget about maybe the agenda of the day. You forget about, you know, the bills that have to be paid. You forget about all of that. And for a few moments, you're just in the presence of God and God is talking to you. I want to encourage you to prepare your hearts when you come to worship so you're able to receive. And as you come, nothing wrong with grabbing a coffee, nothing wrong with saying hello to a lot of friends, but I would encourage you as we come together to pause, grab a seat. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if some of you just kneeled down or sat down quietly and called upon God to come and move in a fresh way, show up, show off in the gathering so we can experience the presence of God. Is that all right with you all? Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. You at Psalm 101? Yes. Okay, good, good. This can be fast. Get ready. How do you know David was a worshiper? He was a worshiper. He was a musician. He worshiped God. So what do we see? These are some core values that he establishes in his life. He says, I will be praising you, God. I will be singing to you, God. And then he said, I will be not careless, but I will be careful. I will be careful to live what kind of a life? This is before Jesus, right? He's wanting to please God. He's wanting to live a life that is God-honoring. And he said, I will be careful. These are core values that he establishes in his life. I want you to meditate on these. Take these with you as you leave this morning. I will be careful to live a blameless life. Say blameless. Blameless. Does blameless mean that the devil can't charge you with anything? Does blameless mean that you're perfect? What does blameless mean to you? Is it possible to live a blameless life? Is it possible to walk with the Lord in such a way to where Romans 8 is true? There is therefore now no condemnation. Because as soon as God directs me to surrender something, repent of something, I repent of it and I continue living a blameless life. So you can be living a blameless life and miss your exit. And the Holy Spirit will immediately make you aware of that, and immediately, how many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? You can live a blameless life. You can mess up and instantly be called back and instantly say, I'm sorry, Lord. Yeah, that was stupid. I should have listened better. Amen. My mind was drifting, living a blameless life. The psalmist, as a worshiper, said, I will live a blameless life when you come to my aid. Can't do it alone. Then he said, I will live a life of integrity. Integrity above reproach. Where? My own house. Does it matter? Does it matter how we live around those who know us best? Wow. Any of you ever seen a chameleon? We used to have them. I don't see chameleons around much anymore, but when I was a kid, we had tons of chameleons. Did you ever put them on a brown stick and they turn brown? Put them on a green leaf and they turn green. They are where they are. That is what they are. But the psalmist said, he said, I will lead a life of integrity. I will not adapt to my circumstances. I will live a life of integrity. I like to think of it this way. Instead of being a thermometer that simply reads the condition of the room, be a thermostat that sets the condition of the room. May we do that in Jesus' name. I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. Mary Brown, years ago, we were at a Women's Aglow conference back in those days, just learning about the Holy Spirit. I remember her saying, she said, you are no more spiritual in the church than you are in front of your refrigerator. I said, oh, Jesus, help me. But I believe it's true. I believe it's true. What we are at home is who we are in public as well. And so may the Lord do a deep work in our life. I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? I think the King James says, I will set no evil thing before my eyes or something like that, right? So I refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. That means it was a core value of his. And we cannot determine what may show up in front of our eyes, but we can determine what we do with it. And so the psalmist said, I will refuse to look at anything vile, vulgar. I hate crooked dealings. I will have nothing to do with them. I'm not going to get involved in cutting corners. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. Wow. This was a pretty strong to-do list for a First Testament follower of God. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will keep a protective eye on the godly so they may dwell with me in safety. And only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. I will not allow deceivers to serve me, and liars will not be allowed to enter my presence. Sounds like he was careful who he hung out with. Not a bad idea for us either, isn't it? Is it? My daily task will be to ferret out criminals. He's king, so he's saying that's my job. My job is to address evil, to locate and remove, expose, hold accountable the criminals, and free the city of the Lord from their grip.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
You're